Well, as we awaken today on this late February day, you know, we know that the vaccines are coming out, and we wonder what the hell will our world look like. And I want to share this with you before I bring on my next guest, who will give us some indication of what the COVID world will look like, because it's never going to be completely post-COVID. We will never be at COVID zero. Here's a useful way to think about the numbers. Let's look at Israel. Israel's had the best vaccination rate of any country in the world. Taiwan's pretty good, but Israel is really a model. So only about 3.5 out of every 100,000 folks vaccinated in Israel were later hospitalized with COVID symptoms. So during a typical flu season in the USA, we're comparing it, 150 out of every 100,000 people are hospitalized with flu symptoms. So it's 3.5 for every 100. It's 150 out of every 100,000 of the typical flu. So this is something that we're going to be living with forever. It will be one of those manageable risks that we have because we've been vaccinated. So I want to ask now, Phil Gillies, the executive director of the Ontario Construction Consortium, what he thinks the world will look like, and if he could wave that magic wand and be all-powerful, how would he safely reopen the economy now? Phil Gillies, welcome, sir.
Great, Andrew. Thanks so much for having me back this morning.
Good morning. So, how do you see this unfolding, sir?
Well, okay. Just to follow on what you were just saying, I'm a great believer in looking at history as an indicator of what's to come. And if you look back all the way back to the Middle Ages, at plagues, all the way forward to the Spanish flu, 1919 to 1920, these plagues tended to last 18 to 24 months. And then they, for the most part, burned themselves out. And I kind of think that's what's going to happen this time. Although you're right, there will be always something going on. But the real crisis, I think, is going to pass in 18 to 24 months. So I think we're more than halfway through this thing. So let's get everybody vaccinated. Let's get some herd immunity going and start rebuilding for the future.
All right. From your perch as executive director of the Ontario Construction Consortium, how do you see the provinces across this country opening up? What should be done now? What should be done now? I don't know why I'm repeating that. And what are provinces and the feds doing wrong in your view, Phil?
Well, I think from the perspective of my industry, I think construction can lead the way. Construction can lead the way for Canada's economy out of the COVID depression for a number of reasons. First of all, construction has proven itself in the last year to be just about the safest part of the economy. If you look at all of the COVID-related cases that have broken out in workplaces, there's no sector of the economy that's been as safe as construction. We talked last week, Andrew, that there have been about 10,000 COVID-related cases have gone in Ontario to the Workplace Safety Insurance Board. And out of that 10,000, only about 120 originated on construction sites. So it's less than 1.5%. So the construction industry has stepped up. They've made the sites safe. They've protected their workers. They've done an exceptional job. So construction is charging ahead. For the most part, it's carrying on through the pandemic. And there's a lot of good news out there. You look at Toronto. There are 10 massive skyscraper projects going up in central Toronto. People, if you live in the city, keep your eyes on downtown Toronto. If you come into the city from outside, in a couple of years, you're not going to recognize the skyline. These 80, 90-story buildings are going up, and they're going to transform the skyline. And that's good for the economy. There's thousands of jobs involved, so there's a lot of good stuff going on. Now, what can we do to keep that momentum going? What can we do to help to help this sector push ahead and help rebuild our economy. One thing is to make it easier to build things in Ontario and in Canada. Make it easier to push ahead with infrastructure projects and with residential and industrial commercial construction. I think, and I think there are many people who would agree with me, we have too many layers of bureaucracy, too many regulations, too many things that make it very, very difficult to go ahead with much-needed construction projects. There are people who would disagree with me, but...
Can I just weigh in? Yeah. I think Kerry Green, the chair of Greenwin Corporation, was telling Adam Vaughn on this broadcast on SiriusXM a couple of weeks ago that Canada's number one in being the last, number 30 out of 30 G8 plus whatever countries in terms of red tape. In other words, it's harder to build a building in Canada than any other country in the world because of bureaucracy.
Yeah, I don't doubt that for a minute. I was very pleased when the Ford government took over the administration and construction of the subway system in Toronto, because successive Toronto City Councils have debated and obfuscated and delayed and changed plans for decades about what to do with the subway system. And finally, a provincial government has come forward and said, "No, you know what? You run the thing. You take the fare revenue. That's fine. But we're going to decide when and how to build it." And they can do so, you know, with a couple of votes in the legislature. And, you know, some people will yell at me and say this is terrible, but I happen to think this is a good thing. So the much needed Ontario line, what we used to call the relief line, that's going to cut diagonally across downtown Toronto, is going ahead. I think that's a good thing. So that's one thing. Another thing I think we need to do is make it easier to build affordable forms of housing in our big cities, in Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal. It's just getting ridiculously unaffordable for ordinary working people to be able to afford to live in our major cities. So we need to build more purpose-built rental housing. Everyone's been building condos. We need purpose-built rental accommodation. And in Ontario, you are seeing more of that. There are more rental buildings going up in recent years than we've seen for a couple of decades.
Well, the feds have a national housing strategy, and the agency that looks after the housing for the feds is called the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation. It's a government agency that helps fund this stuff, and they're fully subscribed to their right now to their affordable housing program. The issue is that we need more. It's not enough. It's better than six other governments have done in a long time, and good for the Liberals when they do well. We have to say that. When they do bad, we spank them. I mean, that's the way it works with any government. But we need more, and the COVID situation is just going to increase the need for more affordable housing. You can't say, I had John Tory on here last week, Toronto Mayor. You can't say our healthcare workers are frontline heroes and this and that where they can't afford to live in Vancouver, they can't afford to live in Calgary, they have to commute 2 hours to service their patients, the personal care workers. That's no good. That's no good. So you're right about this. Something else I want to jump in before I forget with my... the aluminum cookery that dominates my mind, and that is ridership. The ridership studies in Montreal, ridership studies in Calgary, Edmonton, choose your city, Toronto, they're all sort of out the window. You know, you talk about subway construction, et cetera, and TO or whatever. The new normal will be a lot more digital. There will be more Zoom meetings. There will be more people working from home. So even our notions of, well, we need a new super highway above Toronto, or again, name your community, all the ridership metrics, all of our predicates for how cities work, live, and breathe need to be reset because COVID exacerbating and catalyzing lifestyle change with Zoom meetings, et cetera. So some people, You know, if you're selling somebody something, you need to see them in person. If you've got a new relationship, socially distanced meetings, et cetera. And with the COVID vaccine, there'll be far more breathing on people. But if you have established relationships with coworkers, colleagues, or you know, suppliers, whatever, existing vendors, you can have that Zoom meeting. You don't need to drive into the big smoke, wherever that is in Canada. How is the Ontario Construction Consortium, you know, just what passes through your eyes, Phil Gillies, as the executive director, how does that, what kind of information are you getting with regards to what will be the new normal with commuters and riderships on and public transit across the country with the advent of Zoom meetings and the new COVID realities that sink into our lifestyle?
Great question. We organized, we did a lot of work on this last fall. We organized two panel seminars on this in partnership with the Empire Club of Canada on this very question. Right now, if you look at, again, at downtown Toronto, the actual utilization of office space, that's people actually, you know, getting on in their car, getting on the bus or train and going into their offices, is around 10%. 10% of these big office towers, the space is being utilized right now. So they're like ghost towns. They're like ghost towns. And that situation is going to persist through, I think, much of this year. So the big question mark becomes, post-COVID, what's the return going to look like? And that's the big question mark. People are all over the place on that. One big tech firm in Ottawa has said basically they intend to give up their headquarters and have people work remotely. Other companies are holding their fire. They're not saying what they're going to do. So what becomes of these massive office towers? If a big law firm has four floors in First Canadian Place right now, are they going to keep four floors post-COVID, or are they going to say, we only need one floor and people only really need to come to the office maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks, and we're not going to renew our lease on the four floors? Are these buildings going to hollow out? We don't know the answer to that at this point, and the experts are all over the map. A lot of experts are saying, no, people are social animals. They're going to need to get together. They're going to need to collaborate in person with their coworkers, and they will return to collaborative work situations in their offices and their stores and so on. And that's the other thing, Andrew. It's not just people going back to the office. So what about the coffee shops? What about the corner stores? What about all of the small businesses that line the streets of our cities? What becomes of them if people aren't going physically out to work anymore? So the question you've asked is really not just about the future of the office. It's about the future of our cities.
Completely correct.
Yeah. Now, everybody is kind of looking at Calgary, because downtown Calgary kind of went through this some years before other big cities because of the collapse of the oil industry. So a lot of the downtown office towers there kind of emptied out with the downturn in the oil industry. So it's pre-COVID. What you saw happening there with some buildings is that some of the office buildings where the building was suitable for this, converted to residential. But there's so many factors that you have to look at. Many, many office buildings are not suitable to be converted into apartments or condominiums, but some are. So that might be a partial answer in some cases. So that takes us back to the earlier discussion we had a few minutes ago. Maybe this hollowing out of some office building leads to the creation of some more affordable residential.
It's fascinating, and we just don't know right now. But here's what common sense tells us. Phil Gillies, executive director of the Ontario Construction Consortium. You can use Zoom meetings Google Meetings. More practically, you don't need to travel as much. You actually save time. It's just as effective. We can adjust and adapt to it. Common sense tells us we won't be going downtown to central business districts across North America the way we were. Will we will we return to pre-COVID? No.
Will it's going to be a new normal.
Yeah. I'm thinking instead of going to the office five times a week, it'll be three times a week maybe. At best, there'll be more allowance. And also, let's talk about the profit imperative here before we go. We got to go in 10 seconds. Companies will save money not having bigger offices.
So I know we're running out of time, Andrew, but if we have another opportunity, the other thing we need to do to get our economy moving again is we need skilled tradespeople. There's a huge shortage of skilled labor in this country, and we got to do something about that.
Let's save that for next week. Thank you so much, Phil Gillies. Really appreciate your perspective on the new normal with COVID and what our cities will look like, certainly how it affects transit and ridership projections. Phil Gillies is the executive director of the Ontario Construction Consortium.